In tonight's County Conversations, we share our monthly check-in with Humboldt County's 4th District Supervisor, Natalie Arroyo, who represents the cities and unincorporated towns of Eureka, Fairhaven, and Samoa. Thank you, Supervisor Arroyo, for joining us on this fourth Monday of each month. Tonight, there are several important topics, so diving right in, I know RCEA recently revisited the option of adding nuclear power to its energy portfolio, reversing its initial decision. Can you provide an update on this development?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So Redwood Coast Energy Authority has the opportunity to receive power that customers already pay for. It's part of a package of costs that are passed on, you know, that we don't really have a choice to pass on to customers. It was a decision by the California Public Utilities Commission. So people are already paying for the ongoing maintenance and operation of Diablo Canyon Nuclear Plant, which is on the central coast of California. So we do receive the option of accepting that power and thereby accepting what our customers are paying for during this kind of interim period. So our board did decide to accept the power, but to craft a statement that makes it clear that, you know, what our position on nuclear is. And I think for many of the board members, including myself, that position is that we don't support additional nuclear plant development until or unless there is a safer alternative, both to operation and to disposing of nuclear waste, which currently there is not. So we're going to develop a policy position about that so it's clear where we stand on future projects, but we did vote to accept the power for the time being and to use those savings to pass on to our customers through the form of and our board will decide in the future whether that will be some direct form of our rate structure or something like that, or whether we will invest those funds to help create more renewable resources here at home.
In other local news, I understand that the draft of Humboldt County's Climate Action Plan recently gained approval from the Board of Supervisors. Could you give us an update on that and also discuss how the nearly $19 million grant awarded to the Humboldt Transit Authority might support the Climate Action Plan's goals?
Absolutely. So the Climate Action Plan has been a long time in development, and we did move forward with our current draft so that the environmental review process can continue. We'll continue to be accepting comments, and there's going to be more public meetings and more public process to accept additional comments. It's not the end point of our Climate Action Plan. A great segue to Humboldt Transit Authority is that in our Climate Action Plan, which is a regional document, it includes a lot of partners and cities and other public agencies that we will be working with. It lists RCEA, Redwood Coast Energy Authority, and HTA, Humboldt Transit Authority, quite a bit in there. For implementation of, you know, so our Climate Action Plan does point out that almost 75% of emissions are on road. So transportation related, actually more than 75% are transportation related, but it's, but most are, you know, for everyday travel, essentially on road transportation. And so an effort to address that, especially for people who live in a place where they can access transit for their everyday needs, is to improve our transit system. So Humboldt Transit Authority just applied and received another round of funding from a state funding source, the Transit Intercity Rail Connect Program. And rail actually has no bearing on us here because we're not using rail for any of our portion of the line of transit, but we are gonna be able to improve the frequency of service and add additional hydrogen buses and quite a few other amenities like better bus stops. So folks will be seeing that coming in likely in 2026 as we start to implement that project.
In other transit news, it's my understanding that the Humboldt Transit Authority recently expanded its services to enable commuting further south. Can you provide more details on this new connection and its impact on local commuters?
Yes, that is the North State Express 101 route. So we're working really closely with a lot of other transit agencies from neighboring counties to make sure that our systems connect to each other effectively. So if you want to take transit to Reading or to Crescent City or down to the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area, I should say, you can do that. And we're working on making that even better. Right now, for $2, you can get on a bus in Eureka or Fortuna and head all the way down to Ukiah, where you can connect to transit there, and then eventually to the SMART train, just a little bit further south, which then connects all the way to, you know, destinations in the Bay Area. So we mapped out some of the, I recently mapped out how to get to the airport, to the San Francisco SFO airport. And, you know, it would be a few connections, but not significantly more than if you were taking other options that existed, you know, in the past, like Greyhound. You would still need to make some transfers there. So, and this actually stops a lot less frequently and is very inexpensive. So we're really excited to get that off the ground, and folks can go to hta.org to find out more about that service.
And now I'd like to pivot to the upcoming elections. While you represent the unincorporated areas of Eureka, the city itself is holding elections for two city council wards, with both incumbents facing challengers. Have you made any endorsements or expressed support for candidates in that race?
Yes, I have. And I've made a number of endorsements and, you know, showed my favor for different ballot measures and candidates. And I want to say that, you know, I'm in that particular capacity, I'm really doing that as a private citizen and a resident of Eureka. So I live right in the heart of the city of Eureka. And so I support Scott Bauer and Katie Moulton, who are both incumbents who have done a really great job working for Eureka. Excuse me, I'm a little, the frog's got my throat today. Scott and I have known each other for many years working on, you know, watershed restoration projects and fisheries. So I know he has a good head on his shoulders from that experience. And I really enjoyed working with him when I was on the city council. And then Katie and I have known each other through the sort of local arts and culture scene for a long time. She's been heavily involved in the arts. And in addition to that, was a really steadfast, great council member. So I got a chance to work with both of them, and I support them. And then I also support the no on Measure F position very strongly.
Finally, Supervisor Arroyo, with your Coast Guard background and current role as supervisor, have you received any briefings, or do you foresee any potential concerns on election night or even leading up to the transfer of power?
Yeah, I think on a local level, you know, our elections office and process is extremely transparent. They go above and beyond to make sure that, you know, their local election transparency project that the, you know, Office of the Registrar and is working closely with them and, you know, making information available. So I think that there's been a lot of work done to ensure that there's confidence in our local election process. And, you know, I would say in addition to that, you know, there's some unknowns about how the national election will go, the transfer of power, which will inevitably happen. So it's, I would say, like, from a Coast Guard and a local perspective, you know, everyone's sort of expecting that there might be some hiccups, but we haven't done any, I haven't been involved in any contingency planning directly. So there may be contingency planning going on that I'll check in with the sheriff about on the local level to understand a little bit better in our Office of Emergency Services. But yeah, we're really focusing on, you know, continuing to provide good service as usual.
And with about a minute and a half left, Supervisor Arroyo, I want to open the floor for you to share any additional points or updates for Humboldt residents.
Yeah, I mean, you asked me about city elections and what I supported, and I think I would be remiss if I didn't say that I'm also very supportive of Measure O. I think it's a real necessity for our community and our county, as we've seen a reduction in state funds. So as a, you know, again, as a kind of independent citizen speaking to fellow folks in the community, I think that's really necessary, even though, you know, I realize it's a little bit hard to vote for more taxes, and I think those will be really managed for a very much needed cause.
You can catch 4th District Supervisor Natalie Arroyo on the fourth Monday of each month. If you have questions you would like asked, you can email them to news@kmud.org.